Today on Real Life Radio.
My friend, listen, cheer up. I want to encourage you right now. The world is not falling apart. Is it getting more evil?
Yep.
Is it getting more dangerous to not only be an American, but of course to be a Christian?
Yep.
Do we at this hour have the liberty and the freedom and the safety to gather together as a church publicly?
Yep.
Thank you, Lord.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, as war and conflict intensify across the globe, where can we as people find hope in the future?
Jesus said there'd be days just like this that would preempt the final days of His physical return. That's the second coming of Christ.
Never before have current events come together so perfectly to align with biblical prophecy. And there's no one better to share that with us, the reality of the Bible and its link to current events, than our very own Pastor Jack Hibbs. He's got a new book called Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. Now, in this book, you're going to discover how things are falling into place, just as the Bible predicted thousands of years ago.
What do we want to do? We want to look to the Bible and find out how it ends. Right? Don't you want to know?
You can learn about what's coming up next in the prophetic calendar, why Israel is the most controversial hotspot in the world, and the role that Russia plays, prophetically, in all this global conflict. Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. It's our gift to you for your gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message called Hope from Heaven. Revelation chapter 12 is known as a chapter of warfare, but the promise of God is to provide hope and protection for the nation of Israel, and it's guaranteed to those who believe that Jesus is the Messiah. You see, Revelation chapter 12 and all the devastation that comes along with it can easily terrify and discourage us. But true followers of Christ will not be there to experience it. We'll be in heaven with the Lord. Still, there's hope from heaven for all those who choose to believe in Jesus during that tribulation. They may suffer and die for their faith, but in the end, God is faithful, and they will be saved. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that our hope in God will see us through some dark times. A deep assurance and joy that no one can take away. Doesn't matter if we have wealth or if we've got nothing at all, the moment we trust in Christ, we have everything. Now in his message called Hope from Heaven, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you follow anti-Semitism much. I do. Anti-Semitic, that is a natural hatred towards Jewish people for no reason. But did you know that's one of the very serious issues in Germany today? Did you know that the German government is trying to curb and ebb this growing hatred of Jewish people among younger people in Germany? It's happening in Austria. It's happening all around the world. In North Africa, there's a rise. And it seems, at this time anyway, America seems to be a safe place for Jewish people, but that's going to change, the Bible tells us. But there's going to be this hatred. And you say, well, where's the hope in all this? Well, here comes the hope. It says that as that serpent spews the water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might carry her away by the flood, so this army will go after her. But the earth helped the woman. Now, most scholars believe that's just nothing other than an earthquake, a great earthquake. We don't know. And from heaven, maybe we can watch, but it's going to be something awesome. And it says here that the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up, swallows the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Church, again, put your little yarmulke on when you're thinking here for a second. Be Jewish. You're a Jew. You're living in the tribulation period. You know the Old Testament, and now you've been reading the New, because people have been talking about, hey, have you read this? Have you read these Left Behind books that this guy wrote several years ago? And all your Christian friends told us there'd be days like this. Let's peruse the New Testament and see what we find. They're going to open up the Bible and they're going to start going through it. And remember, they're Jewish. And they're going to come to verses like this about eagle's wings, Whoa, are they going to know, hey, that reminds us of our escape from Egypt. Then they're going to come down here and we're going to hear about an earthquake swallowing up our enemy. Ooh, that reminds us of who? Remember Korah? Remember God had called Moses to lead his people? And Moses was doing a good job. But can you imagine? If you have a family, you know how hard it is just to get your family to agree on something? Can you imagine getting 2.5 to 3 million Jews to agree on something? It's been said if you have 10 Jews, you have about 15 opinions. And they're really fun people to talk to. They will argue. They won't even believe in their own argument, but they'll argue with you about it. And then when they see you turning blue in the face from arguing, then they say, well, I don't believe what I was just talking about. I just wanted to see what you'd say. Moses is leading them and leading them. It's a difficult job. And then Korah, he's had enough. And he comes up there and who's made you in charge? Well, God called Moses to this job. Moses, remember, didn't want it. He didn't want the job. God says, Moses, you're going to do it. I don't want it. You're going to do it. I don't want it. He tries to send his brother to do it. God says, all right, I'll speak through your brother to the people, but I'm going to talk to you. God calls Moses. And so all this stuff's going on, and Korah shows up with his little band of goofballs, and they want to overthrow the government of God, which is manifested in this man, Moses. And believe me, Moses would have gladly given it to him if it wasn't a calling. So Moses says, look, basically, I've had enough of this stuff. And I could so relate with him. Think about it. Lord, I've had enough. Not only is this so difficult to lead your people, but this guy keeps chewing on me. So Moses says to Korah, all right, look, let's just draw a line in the sand right here. We'll just draw it across the sand. And whoever wants to be with Korah, stand on this side of the line. And whoever wants to follow the Lord, be on this side of the line. I don't care which side of the line you get on. Doesn't matter to me. And, decide. And we'll let God judge again. We'll let God, maybe God wants to change his calling. Fine with me, Moses says. Let's do it. And so they got Korah's guys, you know. We're with Korah. Yes, we are. We're with Korah, you know. And then the other guys, you know, Mo, here we go, something, I don't know. The ground, Moses says, Lord, just show us today whoever you want to lead these people. I honestly believe that Moses did not care. He'd had enough. And the ground began to shake, and the ground opened up and swallowed all the people who were complaining. Praise the Lord. That is so beautiful. There's nothing worse than complainers, whiners, and gripers. You know why? They never produce a solution. They just whine about everything. Nothing's right. And you got to love them. And that's the hard part of it all. But the ground opened up, swallowed up those people, and they were gone. The Bible says, warning Israel again. Wow, he did it in the past. Do you see what this is doing? It's calling Israel to put faith in God based upon what he did in the past because he's faithful to do it in the future. Verse 17, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Who in the world are these people at the midpoint of the tribulation period? You already know who they are. Revelation chapter 7, 144,000 Jews who have been born again and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That dragon, Satan, via the Antichrist, will turn and launch his rage against those who obey God's commands and keep the testimony or have the testimony of Jesus. It's the 144,000 evangelists that we studied about in Revelation chapter 7. And the Bible says in chapter 7 from here on out, from chapter 12 here on out, that they will die for their faith, won't they? The Bible says they will even be, and this is amazing. We'll hear about more of this in the future, sad to say. But they will be beheaded for their faith, which leads me to believe. And I haven't read this anywhere. I may be dead wrong. I doubt it on this issue. This is a future event, isn't it? Revealed here in the Bible. It's coming. So if the world scene concerning current events around the world, if the stage is being set, hey, let me put it to you this way. My friend, listen, cheer up. I want to encourage you right now. The world is not falling apart. Is it getting more evil? Yep. Is it getting more dangerous to not only be an American, but of course to be a Christian? Yep. Do we at this hour have the Liberty and the freedom and the safety to gather together as a church publicly? Yep. Thank you, Lord. But is not there a storm brewing? Is it not beginning at least in America? And it has already begun in other countries like Pakistan and India and North Africa, Sudan. You go to the Sudan and say, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Do you know your head will be cut off? Did you know that's what's behind what's going on in the UN? It's the wholesale slaughter of Christians in the Sudan. They will not bow to Allah. Read. Get your nose out of the magazines and start reading and finding out and go search and see. Synagogues and Christian churches in the year of 2003 were attacked more than any other time of modern history, and it's increasing. Christians were worshiping the Lord in Pakistan when motorcyclists drove their motorcycles into that church, stepped out with bombs and machine guns, and killed 19 Christians worshiping the Lord on a Sunday morning, and it's increasing. I find it very interesting that the Bible says that the mode of the Antichrist to destroy his enemies, what does it say in the scripture? It's future. What's the mode of removing or killing his enemies? The Bible says it's beheading. Isn't it weird that you and I are sitting in the 21st century, and prior to September 11th and what we've seen since, you and I would have almost laughed at that verse of the Bible. We'll read it in chapter 13, that those who do not bow to his system will be beheaded. I believe that somehow there will be a connection between the Antichrist and his power out of Europe and Islamic belief. And if you know anything deep about Islam, the head must come off of any infidel. And it says to start first with the Jew and the Christian. Surah chapter 5, Surah 9. Interesting things. And to this, I want to turn and talk about our hope. With the time remaining, we need to wake up and realize, not wake up and become depressed. My friend, the world is not falling apart. The world, according to God, is coming together. Everything that has happened in the world, it's as God said it would be. Jesus said that right before he returned, there would be wars. And by the way, you say, well, there's always been wars. The word that he used in Greek are global wars. He said there would be wars and rumors of wars. Is that not happening? Ethnos against ethnos. Nation against nation, or ethnic groups against ethnic groups, to kill them. And that's rising in the world. Kingdom against kingdom on a global scale. That's political philosophy against political philosophy. That's happening. Jesus said it will be going on a global scale. Jesus said that there will be great earthquakes in various places of the world. I encourage you, jot it down. If you doubt what I'm talking to you about, read Matthew chapter 24 and then go online to caltech.gov, or just type in Caltech. Go to Caltech and type in or research the history of earthquakes, or type in the search engine there, frequency of earthquakes. You'll be shocked to find out how the increase of what's called superquakes have completely changed the complexion of science and of the world since the 1950s. Unbelievable increase. We kind of enjoy those little hiccups and burps from once in a while, but now, I don't know, it's been a long time. The Bible talks about, Jesus said there are going to be great earthquakes, and he says all these things that will be happening, men's hearts will begin to fail them for fear. Heart attacks of fear because of what's happening. You say, well, Pastor, you're not encouraging me much. Well, hang on, here we go. I want you to jot these down. My friend, it's time to be encouraged. Israel's going to be radically encouraged in this day. God will open up a way and she's going to escape. And the unbelieving, the Bible says that they're going to be perishing at the hands of the Antichrist. The believing faithful that have the testimony, that do not escape, they'll die for their faith. The 144,000 and their converts. But there'll be a remnant of Israel saved, says the scripture. And we believe that they're going to be heading to Petra there in Jordan, based upon Daniel 11, verse 41. But what is our strength, Christian? We need to be strong. We need to rejoice, because the days are going to get more evil. There's going to be more attacks against us. Here in America, it's already started on a legislative level. It's going to increase. It may manifest itself in violence. You say, well, Pastor, aren't we going to get raptured by then? Maybe, maybe not. Things could happen. What if terrorists begin to start thinking, let's start nuking synagogues and churches in America? Think about that. Why? In this world around us, are there warnings of terror regarding innocent children and women and places of worship? This is a falsehood. This is not a truth. But we have been told as a nation, stop praying for Israel, stop supporting Israel, leave Israel alone, and we will leave you alone. That's not true. Because you see, it's a spiritual war, my friend. It's spiritual. And this is what I want to encourage you with. 1 Corinthians 10:13. You ought to jot them down because we're going to need them. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to every man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Do you know what that means? When a temptation comes into your life, as a Christian, you can stand here today and say, you know what? There is no temptation that can come into my life that Christ first has not provided a way for me to escape. That's why the Bible says, flee from all appearances of evil. I had somebody tell me a couple of weeks ago, we want to get married. Oh, great. Talk to them some more. Well, to save money for our future, we're living together. Well, wait a minute. The Bible says to flee from all appearances of evil. Oh, no, we're not having sex. We sleep in separate rooms. Look, man, I don't know about you, but if you're hot to marry a girl or you're hot to marry a guy and you're excited about it and you are going to try to save money by living in separate rooms under the same roof, well, then you're stronger than King David ever was. And we need to all hang out with you to just draw from your spiritual strength. Because, buddy, just knowing that she's down the hallway ought to drive you nuts. And that's an okay kind of nuts, but not under the same roof. And this is one of the three original thoughts God has ever given me in my life, ever. So, you know, you ought to jot down your original thoughts because they're very few. Never underestimate man's ability to justify his own sin because it looks horrible on somebody else. But man, when you're wearing it, it ain't so bad. Trust God. Move out of the house and come together as a husband and wife the way you ought to. Flee all appearances of evil because your neighbors are all thinking you're sleeping together. You see? Things like that. God, when the enemy brings the temptation, you don't go like this. Oh no, a temptation. Here it comes. Oh no. Oh man, whoa, I'm recovering from this sin because the enemy tempted me. No, you knucklehead, you gave into it. You didn't stand up against it. You didn't take that verse and say, the Lord is providing a way of escape with this temptation. Christians, get strong. And that translates into anything, temptation. Could there be a temptation for you and I not to come to church anymore? Another thing, 2 Corinthians 9:8. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Man, that's enough. That you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. That verse is about as pregnant with joy and victory as you can imagine. 2 Corinthians 9:8. What about Ephesians 3:20? This is one of our favorite verses here. Now to him, that's the Lord, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's good news. Lamentations 3:32 and 33. Though God brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. That's comforting. God's not setting out today to ruin your day. Hebrews 6:19, this hope we have as an anchor for our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. What is that all about? What is our hope that enters behind the veil? My friend, have you put all your hope in Christ? Are you trusting him completely? You just ought to decide to do it now. Oh, I'm trusting in my money. You may not confess that. You may not even see that, but you might be trusting in your money. You may not have your money for long. Besides, your money can't buy you health. Psalm 42, verse 5 says, why are you cast down, O my soul? This is David speaking to himself. Why are you bummed out? hey, self, why are you so down? Why are you so disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise his name for the help of his countenance. Christian, you're not hopeless. You know what? God forbid, but if there's a September, what is today, the 5th? If there's a September 5th attack, hope thou in God. If there's an attack via disease, cancer, terrorist, economy, hope thou in God. Put your trust in him. Job says, naked I came and naked I go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's only one hope, and it's the hope of Christ that will get you and I through all the way to the end. And it's easy to preach right now to the choir. We're here. We're healthy. Things are fine. But you give this message to those that are in bed in the hospital, sick or dying, and they'll grab onto it for life. How do I know? Because they're the ones asking, can I have the Sunday message? Did you know that? You might miss a Sunday. Maybe the surf is up or the snow is great or whatever is going on. Or man, let's just, and you don't even care. I missed church the last few weeks. Oh, well, whatever. I'll get the tape. That's your business between you and God. I tell you what, though. It is a precious thing when somebody, when you visit them in the hospital and they'll ask you, did you bring the tape from Sunday? They want the word of God. They want the encouragement. Why? Because God brings us hope. God says, I know what's going on in your life and I'm going to deliver you. He's faithful. Well, how do I know he's going to deliver me? He has said so. Well, it doesn't look like he's delivering me. I'm losing this. I'm losing that. Maybe those things are not important. Oh, easy for you to say, but I had this and I had that. Maybe for what God has coming and what God has planned, those things are not important. That's a huge challenge to us in this Western culture. Somehow we begin to think that what I possess equates to my goodness and my position with God. And how are you going to tell that? How will you explain that to our brothers and sisters in the world who love God with all their heart, but they have nothing, but they have everything? We need to prepare. We need to get ready. Why? Because we have great hope to get us through, and it will get us through. Psalm 146, verse 5. Psalm 146, 5. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. You got problems? We all do. Give it to the Lord. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's a fun verse. Our hope is alive. How do you know? Because Jesus rose from the dead.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Hope from Heaven. We're so glad you joined us today. Hope from Heaven is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, I have something for you. It's compact, but it's powerful, and it packs a punch. It's a booklet that we've put out called Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate Endgame. But what does that mean? In light of what's going on in the world around us, I have never seen the pieces coming together so well and so aligned, according to Bible prophecy, like we see right now in these end times. Are we living in the last days? What should we be looking for? I asked myself these questions, and looking only to the Word of God, I found the answers. True answers according to the Scriptures. Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate Endgame is a pocketbook I wrote, and I want you to have it. And this is available for a gift of any amount. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. All the information is right there on how you can obtain a copy for yourself, hot off the press, as it were. jackhibbs.com. You can order it now.
Well, there you have it, the new book by Pastor Jack, Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game, and you can order it right now for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/offer. That's jackhibbs.com/offer. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.